I'm sorry that I'm letting you down, Ellen.
I'm used to it.
I know. Listen, we were just at the grocery store, and my 10-year-old son, there was a cardboard cutout of, I think, Brett Favre, I think. And Monty goes, "Who's that?" And I was like, "I don't know, like it's some football guy." And he goes, "Watch." And he punched him in the crotch, which is like fair, but also like, don't do that.
But why?
Why shouldn't he do that? Or why did he?
Both.
I mean, I think he just did it the same reason that he yelled out D's nuts at the grocery store, you know?
You're raising a monster.
Yeah.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
I'm a boy mom.
Hi, Tony Award winner Daisy Egan.
Hi, rabble rouser Ellen Marsh.
Ooh, rabble rouser.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Look at my cheekbones. They look really good.
Yeah, you've got on a full face of makeup. We're recording today live video, and I didn't know we were doing a face.
This for me is like full fucking drag.
Yeah.
It took me 1 minute.
Daisy has glam.
Yeah. I've got lashes. I've got glitter. What is a rabble-rouser? You know,
yeah. A
shit-stirrer.
I am not a shit-stirrer, Daisy.
No,
do not start that rumor. I am not a shit-stirrer. I hate confrontation.
I like your... Okay, you just changed it. It's going from like a bouffant to like a Roman...
I look like a cockatiel. I'm like...
Or a cockatiel, yeah.
I used to have a cockatiel, and it used to sit on my shoulder, and it used to brush my hair with its beak. And when it had to poop, flew back to its cage.
I was going to say, did it pooped on you? I like your disembodied head behind you, too.
My neighbors booed my house.
Oh, yeah. You showed me that.
Yeah. They put, like, rats in my microwave and, like, spiders in my drawers. And they, like, took pictures off my wall and put, like, creepy pictures up. When I came back home from being out of town, my whole house was booed.
When did you move into that place?
It'll be a year in December.
See, I've lived in this house for about a year and a month. We know our next door neighbors, and that is it.
I like my neighbors. They're all really, really nice.
Yeah.
We, like, have, like, porch hangouts and
do drugs
and alcohol.
Oh, I like to do drugs and alcohol. I don't think I could have porch hangouts with my neighbors because I think they're probably pretty Trumpy.
That would not end well with you. You,
no.
On the other hand, are a rabble rouser.
I sure am.
But we're here with our follow-up reunion show that we're very, very behind on. We were very on track. And then we fell apart emotionally, physically, professionally.
We had a lot on our collective plates.
I'm actually really happy we got to, like, revisit this. Should we just jump right in?
We had a watch party the night that it aired, which was, like, feels like a year ago now. And Ellen couldn't be there because she's a cunt. And I had never done a watch party like that before, so I was, like, trying to watch the thing, but also trying to do the chat, and then getting texts from Ellen, like, "Why are you ignoring me?" And I was like, I don't know what is happening.
Yeah.
So I
Welcome
did have
to
read.
Welcome to a day in my life. Our brains just work very differently.
They
like,
do.
Like, isn't it so clear to our listeners, like, how different our brains are?
But, you know, somebody today told me that our chemistry is unmatched.
Well, that's because of scissoring.
Well, exactly. The light scissoring.
She said that in a text. She said light scissoring.
Yeah.
We've now lost all of our LGBTQ.
I will give you a fun inside tip about scissoring if you'd like one.
Okay.
A lot of times the vulvas, when they're smushed together like that, start making like a fart sound like you're doing under your armpit.
Right.
And that really, it sort of takes the romance out of the room.
Well, I mean, that's just like, that can happen with a rod.
Yeah, but like, it sure can, but it's like, it won't fail to happen with a scissor.
Okay. Well, we're here at the reunion, and Vanessa Lachey is the first person to talk to welcome us to the reunion. And shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up,
you
Vanessa.
They were so embarrassing last year. I really actually, spoiler, I actually think they're on their best behavior this year.
Yeah, I thought that maybe they'd either been given a talk too, or something happened. And like, there was a lot of like real looks of concern and compassion and like tears in the eyes. It was a very different feeling than last year.
We start on the couches with everyone that made it to the altar, Stacey and Izzy and Lydia and Milton. Should we start with the Lukes?
Yeah, let's do that.
What are your thoughts?
Izzy loves his capri pant. He loves a sensible clam digger.
Okay, listen. Remember, he definitely represents the Lollipop Guild. He definitely lives in a tree and he makes cookies in it. No, I like the color of the suit. It's like a teal. Yeah. It's not teal. It's turquoise or something.
Yeah.
But when he sits on this couch, it comes
mid-calf.
Shin. Like, yeah. On those pants are higher than his credit score. For sure. Like, listen, he's wearing cute Argyle socks, albeit they're brown and light blue. Don't match the suit at all, but I love an Argyle sock.
Yeah.
But, like, how short are those pants?
They were capris. He was wearing a pair of capris. And then his shirt was also too small for him.
Just makes me think he doesn't have a gay. Like, a single gay on his team, on his, like, list of bros. Someone did him dirty.
He needs a gay. I hated that dress that Stacey was wearing. I didn't understand it. It looked like she was doing the silks at a circus and just got caught in it.
To me, it's like she was in her hotel room and she had another dress and she's like, ooh, look at these maroon velour curtains.
Yeah.
Maybe I could fashion some kind of Grecian look. It's unclear. Listen, her body is slamming.
Yeah.
And she definitely got the memo about the contouring of her makeup and her eyebrows.
I think they have a makeup person there.
I feel like that whole couch, Stacey and Izzy, they were missing a lot of fabric.
They were. Between the two of them, it was very austere. Her body is slamming, but I just thought the triangle or diamond of skin that was showing, like, I was like, what part of your body is that? It was just weird. It's like Adam Driver's torso. It's just, like, too wide. It doesn't make sense.
Didn't you have sex with Adam Driver in Girls?
I did. Yeah, I sure did.
Was he nice?
Oh, my God. He was so nice. He was so
nice.
Did
you have sex with him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, full on in front of the cameras. Like, he put his P in my V. No.
Yeah.
No, he's incredibly nice. I went into my dressing room that day, and there was no costume. And I was like, oh, they must have just forgotten. I'll go get hair and makeup. So I went and did that, and I come back, and there's still no costume. And I was like, oh, right. I'm naked. So I just had, like, little pasties and a robe. And he had given me a huge bruise on my ass the day before in the spanking scene. And I showed it to him, you know, with pride. And he was horrified.
Aww.
I know. But I was like, this is the proudest achievement of my life. You know?
So on to Lydia. I get very uncomfortable when I feel like women's Grand Tetons aren't comfortable. Like, I am just waiting for them to fall out or they need to be adjusted.
Yes.
Like, I don't like that journey for her.
No. Lydia the Tidia. Like, I'm pretty sure the areolas were just on display. I was terrified for her.
And Milton looks adorable.
Yeah. He totally looks so cute. I would say that, like, in the real world, if anybody saw him, they'd be like, that guy's a nerd. But, like, now we know him, so he's just sort of, like, a hot nerd.
Totally a hot nerd. Milton and Lydia are holding hands on the couch.
They are. So I was like, P&B. Okay. I mean, they are on each other.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so they're together. And Nick Lachey, just for those of you wondering, is not shutting the fuck up.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever will shut the fuck up.
He's not a listener, apparently.
So we start with Izzy and Stacey, yeah?
No, we don't.
I'm sorry. But like I told you, it happened a year ago.
Nick asks if Milton's family has, like, now accepted Lydia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have. They've bonded. The family is actually close. Milton actually says that, like, Lydia has actually brought his family closer together. She sort of changed their family dynamic.
Do you believe that?
I actually do.
Oh, okay. I hope it's true. I really do hope it's true, because my cynical ass, I was like, this is just their way of trying to fix the fact that they were so fucking cold.
Oh, you think? No, because Milton didn't hide the fact that he wasn't close to his family. He's like, I'm dreading this day. My family's pretty lame.
I was thinking, like, maybe they watched it back and they were like, oh, my God, we come off bad. Like, we have to fucking fix this. Can you just be like, oh, we love her?
Yeah.
But I hope that Lydia has introduced some salsa picante to the Johnson household. What's his last name?
I don't know. Did they tell us?
I think it's Johnson.
Milton is still a fucking mess, and he's not cleaning up his towels. And we sort of see a montage of Lydia and Milton with their year together. They had a wedding in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Honestly, they seem genuinely happy.
They really do. I mean, we'll see how it goes, you know, right. But like they were all over each other.
And Nick Lachey and Vanessa got them a wedding gift, and it's a rock.
It was a rock. It was nice. It's always so funny when Nick Lachey says, like, the invitation must have gotten lost in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Every year. It's funnier and funnier mm-hmm. every year. Yeah. Honestly, it's adorable.
Also, like, you would have gone.
Right.
Now do we go to Izzy and Stacy?
Yeah, now we could go to Izzy and Stacy in his, like, Keebler elf teal suit.
Oh, God. The suit is giving Oompa Loompa at this point. Bro is still saying dept.
Yeah.
Still saying dept.
We see their package. We see sort of their highlight reel, their sizzle reel, if you will. And Vanessa's like, so did you date after the wedding day? The amount of Mississippis it took him. He was like, ha, or, I was like, bro, get it together. That's like, you know, they're going to say that. Like, you didn't have something in your noggin. Come on.
Yeah, you'd think they would have prepared a little bit. And also, like, I thought it was wild that they didn't speak for a year.
You're jumping.
Sorry. Oh, my God. I've gone back. My noting has gone back to episode one.
Yeah, so... Well, they haven't spoken for a year. Like, they took some time, and then they tried going out on a date.
Yeah.
We met on that Friday, and we went out on a date, and we talked at her place, and something just in my gut just knew something was off, and I just asked her. I was like, are you even feeling this? And she just said, like, she didn't, and she couldn't right now.
And then they don't talk for a year, and then... We're going to find out Houston is a small fucking town.
So tiny.
Everyone knows everyone. Y'all, if you're in Houston, you got no secrets.
Yeah, no. Everybody's running into everybody else at bars.
They run into each other.
They run into each other at a bar on Mother's Day. And Stacy says, you know, my sister had just graduated grad school. And we were there, like, celebrating. So they meet up. And they say that this gave them the chance to finally process what they went mm-hmm. through. And I was like, at a bar? At a bar.
Right.
I don't mean to jump to conclusions, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that Izzy was in his cups.
In his what?
In his cups. I think he had to have been drunk. I was just like, that's not a time to process your fucking engagement and getting broken up with at the altar. But, you know, you do you. And Stacy's family also, like, they love Izzy.
They love Izzy. I don't know. I'm so bored with them. Like, they're sitting oddly close on the couch.
I don't know
why you're sitting so close on the couch.
He keeps putting his hand on her bare fucking knee and thigh, and I'm like, okay. And putting, like, his arm around her and shit.
I get the vibe that he is still very much into it.
Yeah.
So then they introduce Johnny, and Johnny comes out wearing what I can only describe as the Elsa dress that they scrapped for the Broadway version of Frozen.
Why do they make these women wear ball gowns to these things? Like, she looked so uncomfortable.
And she's so pretty.
She's so pretty, but it's like they're trying to make her look like this thing that I don't think she really is. Like, I keep looking at her and thinking, like, I feel like you're supposed to be a hippie. Like, I feel like you're just supposed to be like a nature girl. Like, and she just looked so uncomfortable, and her hair just looked stiff, and her makeup was too much. And I was just like, she just looked uncomfortable.
I don't know. I feel like it was like a metaphor because she's gonna let it go. I don't know. I was like, she's as cold as ice. I don't know. I'm getting the metaphors. They're all coming to me.
It was like the scrapped Elsa dress. It was not cute. And just not her. I mean, I don't know her from fucking Adam, but it was not her.
So the first question that stupid-ass Nick Lachey asks, rather than shutting the fuck up, he always has the option to shut the fuck up.
He does.
Like, that is always an option in life. That's a lesson that we want you guys to take with you. You always have the option to shut the fuck up. But he was like, are you still together? And they are not. They are not still together. Because remember...
Oh, boy, they're not.
Chris and Johnny got together together, you know, the barbecue, they met at the airport, they had a little romance, schmomance, but then we learn what happened.
When I tell you that my fucking jaw hit the floor when we learned about this, my jaw hit the floor. Yeah. Chris cheated on Johnny. I was like...
It's a little bit more than that.
It's more than that. He went away. He met a quote-unquote girl, because they're all girls, hooked up with her, and then, like, fucking ghosted Johnny.
Like, they were B friend and G friend.
Yeah.
Like, they were not dating. They were not hooking up. They were boyfriend and girlfriend. He went away, met someone, and she's like, and then I never heard from him again.
What the fuck is that behavior?
And then not only does he say that, he then says,
but I did find someone who I now live with and I love and we're very happy together. And I'm sorry if that hurts to hear, but I, you know, the whole experiment is to find yourself and then find someone who accepts you for who you are.
Like, yes, I cheated, but I'm so happy. We have an apartment and a Jennifer's convertible sofa, and we got tons of silly goose live, laugh, love signs. Like, can someone get Chris a shovel? Because he is digging his own grave. Did you ever, ever clock that Chris could be the villain in this story?
No. I mean, I will say in the beginning that he's the kind of guy that I, you know, would be nervous about at a bar because he's like white frat boy dude. But no. Uh-uh.
And then honestly, I have to give it to Vanessa Lachey because Vanessa Lachey gives this question.
And you just said, I will always defend those I love. But if I may, would you cheat on those you love?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I was like, okay, I have to give that to you.
And then his answer was...
Apparently, yes.
Okay, but do you want to hear my revelation I had today about Chris? I didn't have this revelation when we watched it. Yeah. Initially, I had this revelation today rewatching it. This is so fucked up. Okay, Chris was our hero, right? Chris was our nice guy. Chris was our guy. Do you know why he was the hero and the nice guy?
Because of the puppies?
Yes, always the puppies. We loved him because he wasn't abusive.
Oh, our bar is so low.
He wasn't manipulative. Basically, I gave this man my heart and my world because he did the bare fucking minimum.
Bare minimum.
That's why we loved him. Like, oh my God. Honestly, like, he's not like an SK or a Bartice or a fucking, what's
Uche.
That? Uche. Or what's that other guy's name? Matt from last season.
Right.
JP. We loved him and doted on him because he just wasn't a fucking horrible person.
Garbage
like, honestly, now, Chris, go fucking sit by your bowl. Honestly.
Go fuck off with your fucking new girlfriend in your fucking new apartment. It's so gross.
But tell them how Johnny found out that he was cheating.
Through friends.
A friend saw him and the girl, like, out. Honestly, I actually have to give it to Johnny. She was very brave.
Incredibly.
Very gracious in the face of that kind of humiliation.
It's so funny that you say humiliation. Like, yeah, I think people see it as humiliation, but it's like if anybody should be humiliated in this scenario, it's fucking Chris. Like,
of course.
But I also just think she's brave to fucking show up because I knew that Stacey was gonna fucking shit on her. I mean, again, if it were me, I would have been curled up like a fucking potato bug and never coming out.
Not that I think she should be humiliated, but for anybody who's ever been cheated on and to come and be like, hey, let me sit next to this dude who sat with another woman and her bits while I was wondering where he was.
She was so gracious, much more than I would have been.
I probably wouldn't have shown up.
She's too good for him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So then Nick's like, why so much tension, Johnny and Stacey? Now,
Come on.
In life, we always have two roads we can choose. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Listen, I love to joke that my high road is under construction. I love saying that. But I do tend to take the high road.
Yeah.
Stacey was like, what's below the low road? Like, is
oh
there a
God.
Tunnel or like the subway? What's below the fucking subway?
I picture her in therapy being like, when I go on there, like, I'm just going to fucking tear her a new asshole. And her therapist being like, okay, well, that's one approach. Let's talk about maybe some other approaches that might be less toxic.
And she goes off. The best part, though, was Johnny and Chris having a full separate conversation while Stacey is saying her piece.
Yeah, and you know what? When they showed it, when it originally aired, they didn't have the subtitles of what they were saying, of Chris and Johnny. I don't know if you noticed that, but that was one of the things that I noticed as I was trying to focus on three different screens, that I was like, fuck, I wish there were subtitles. I wish you could hear what they say. But then they put subtitles after the fact.
Uh-huh.
And they're just full on having a whole conversation, like apologizing to each other and like while Stacey is ripping into her, which I loved. I was like, I loved it.
Honestly, she was like, do you want to go get Shake Shack after?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that's the way to do it.
Yep.
And then Stacey's like, you know, we just like we're in each other's cup of tea. But here's the thing about that. Like, not everyone has to partake in your tea.
Yeah.
When it comes down to just being respectful and being a human, that's actually a requirement in my book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You cannot like somebody and still be decent to them.
Yeah.
Unless they've done something.
No, I tell that to my 10-year-old child. I'm like, you don't have to like everyone, but you do have to be kind.
Unless, you know, they've done something awful.
Right.
I don't find that challenging. I don't find that hard. Because there are people in this world who find that it very hard to, like, get over their egos.
Yeah.
And they have to make a point to tell people how you feel about them. I mean, you know that saying, like, your opinion of me is none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, who was Stacey's mom fucking when she was supposed to be teaching her how to be, like, a decent woman? Stacey is a cautionary tale of what women should not be.
Mm-hmm.
You're embarrassing. We're not doing this anymore. This is
we're not doing this anymore. This is very, like, 90s, 2000s behavior. We're not doing this anymore.
And then they go back to a bunch of he said, she said at the barbecue. And honestly, this flashback of Stacey's makeup is sending me. I was like, oh, who knew this was going to really incite some emotions in me? But it is.
You have PTSD from that also.
Yeah, also.
Again, in that clip, they say the purse is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Listen, girl, the purse is in the pudding. I don't know what to tell you. Everyone saw it. The purse is in the pudding.
Where is my is that my?
Yeah.
Who put my fucking purse in the pudding?
I told you your purse was in the pudding.
Oh, my fucking God. That's Gucci. Can someone get me a rag? My purse is in the fucking pudding.
You should have thought of that before you were like that.
And Stacey's like, I've always been the same person. I'm like, yes, Stacey.
Yep.
You've always been a cunt.
You need to get better.
She's just mean. Like, replaying that, I would be
so embarrassed. Yeah.
I would be mortified. And Izzy is mortified, but his apology strikes me as really funny. First, he says that was way out of character. And I was like, no, that's your character.
Yeah.
Because you did it. Like, you did it. But the way he's saying it, he's like, I'm sorry for calling you a shitty person that harshly. Like, I should have been nicer, but, like, the sentiment remains.
Hey, Ellen, you're a shitty person. Is that better?
Yeah.
Does that feel better?
But at least he apologized. Like, Stacey, nary an apology has ever escaped those thin white lady lips.
No.
I can say that. I have Italian lips.
Yeah, her blowjobs are probably pretty bad.
We just covered this case on I Think Not, where clearly something ridiculously racist happened. And the woman was the mayor, and she was doubling down of how not racist their town is.
Oh,
and
boy.
She's like, I mean, our town was founded from Italian immigrants. I was like, I love the joke. I love the joke about Italians not associating with, like, other Europeans. I am Italian, and I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, Italians are like, I'm not Black. I'm not, like, Asian or Hispanic, but I'm also not white. It's like, what?
Every single group that came over to this continent, to this country, did that. They were like, well, I'm not that, but I'm definitely not that. And it's no, bro, you're white.
My grandfather hated Irish people.
Oh, yeah. The Italians and the Irish.
Right? Like, I don't remember what the mean word, but he had, like, a mean word for Irish people. What?
Don't say paddy wagon.
Don't say paddy wagon. Twitter will come for you. What is it? It's like a mean, but it's like a silly Irish word now. What is it? I don't know. Somebody look in the racist dictionary for Irish. I don't know.
Yeah, no, every single race did it. They came over and they were like the next wave of immigrants that came over, everyone just turned and was like, now you're the non-white person.
Oh, Oh, my grandfather, if he were still here, would tell you how oppressed Italians were. And listen, they were, like, because he was an immigrant. He didn't
speak
English.
Sure, but it's not.
Yeah, but, like, his oppression, I was like, Pa, okay. I mean, you're a million.
I have a friend who somehow slavery came up, and she was like, well, the Irish were also slaves. I was like, girl, no.
We're stopping. We're not talking about this anymore. It's now that we learn. We're back to the show. We're back. We learn that Izzy and Johnny hook up.
Johnny, come on.
She was going to get that Donkey Kong dick, but she didn't. They didn't have sex, she said.
I mean, maybe that's why her mom said maybe you're not cut out for a relationship, because she just, her fucking standards, her self-esteem is so low. Like, what are you doing?
I think she was curious.
Ugh, he was so mean. I did that kind of shit in my 20s.
Of course you did. We all did. I would have been curious and been like, what's this all about? You know, it was after her and Chris broke up, obviously after he and Stacy broke up, but like
they ran into each other at a bar.
Honey, you are not safe in Houston.
No.
You better always have your makeup done in Houston. You are gonna run into someone. Do not go to the CVS in your pajamas.
And then Nick and Vanessa really wanted the deets on that. They were like, so was there P&V?
Yeah.
So were you in a separate place? So did you go to a separate location? Were you?
But honestly, in that moment, I'm them. Like, if you were to tell me, like, you hooked up with someone, I'm like, oral, sex,
right.
Good, dick size, tell me when to stop. Oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, and to be fair, that is their job. And then Johnny's like, it was in his Jeep. And here's the thing, you know me, I'm not a car person. But when people refer to each other's vehicles by brand name, I'm always like, why don't you just say his car? Like, why are we?
Right.
I don't know. It just stuck out to me. I'm like, okay, he drives a Jeep. Great. It's probably upside down. He probably fucking, you know, in debt because of that Jeep.
In debt. Listen, he went down on me in my Toyota Tercel. He finger blasted me in his Honda CRV.
I gave him a blowjob in the back of his Camaro.
Oh, Camaros, you don't even know. We have a joke on I Think Not about Camaros. My dad used to drive a Camaro. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, of course he did. He's Italian.
We then learn that, like, Izzy and Stacy are best friends. They wound up at the same cooking class together. Silly gooses. Yeah.
Izzy literally says, yeah, we're bros. They clearly went to Sur La Table for a fucking private cooking class of, like, how to make spaghetti with sauce out of the fucking jar. And Stacy was there with her new boyfriend. It was his birthday, and then they ran into Izzy and one of his many lady loves. I mean, that's awkward as fuck, I would imagine.
So then Aaliyah comes out. I love her dress.
She looked gorgeous. It's
like this champagne structured thing. I loved, like, you could definitely, with the wrong move, if you're boot scootin' boogieing, you could see like some labia majora.
Sure.
But like, it, you know.
Not the menorah, just the majora.
Yeah. And she looks pissed.
She looks mad. She came out there like a linebacker. She stomps out there on stage.
Oh, spoiler alert. Fast forward. Uche's not going to be here.
I don't think that should be allowed. Like, I think it should be part of the contract. Like, you have to fucking go to the reunion. You can't just fucking chicken out because you're a piece of shit and you're embarrassed.
We'll get to him. So the focus of this conversation is going to be Lydia and Aaliyah's friendship. And they give us a package of their friendship. Honestly, the way that they showed, the clips that they showed, it was very lovely.
I agree.
You know, they were there for each other. They were affectionate. They were loving. They held each other. They cried together. If we didn't know what we know now, it was a very beautiful friendship.
It was. Look, it only lasted, what, 2 weeks? Like, the whole thing is so fast. So I can appreciate that, like, maybe it didn't continue.
Then they replay that cringe scene where Lydia is sort of, like, verbal diarrhea-ing everything she knows about Uche.
Yeah.
It's actually more uncomfortable the second time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because now you know everything and you're just like, oh, girl, stop. Please stop talking.
Yeah.
So Lydia apologizes. And I have to say, like, again, like, I believed the apology. She was like, I fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, I was uncomfortable. I didn't know how to handle the situation. I didn't read the room. Like,
yep.
I think it was perfectly reasonable.
I think it was heartfelt.
Yeah.
I think it was genuine. I think she took massive amounts of accountability.
Yeah.
I think she said all the right things. I think exactly what we said on the episode. I think she was just like, oh my God, I wanted to tell you this.
And yeah.
I think if she could take that back, she would. And mm-hmm. I think when she said I didn't read the room, I was like, good on you. We've yeah. all fucking done. We've yeah. all said things where you're like, put it back in my mouth, mm-hmm. please. Please yeah. just put it back. And I loved that for her. I'm sure yeah. that she had been sitting on that apology for a while, but I gotta yeah. tell you, Aaliyah does not look moved.
No, Aaliyah's not buying it, which I just was sad about it because, again, I was like, we're letting some douchebag fucking shit stain of a man like get in the middle of what could be a really nice, sweet friendship.
She goes on, she didn't respect my boundaries, blah, blah. Then she brings up the rumor that Lydia had manufactured this whole thing to be there with Uche, which I want to say I believe is completely fabricated.
Yeah.
Listen, maybe she had a hunch. Maybe she had a gut feeling. I don't believe it. I don't yeah. believe it. Why are we believing Uche? Like, he has done nothing to earn our trust.
Exactly.
I'm over it. And I was like, Aaliyah, I'm sure you guys have texted or emailed or Instagrammed or snapped or twatted or whatever. Come on. Let's yeah. rise above. She did not know. You're going to believe that fucking man? You're going to believe that pipe cleaner? Come on.
That's what I mean. Like, why are you letting this person who's not even worthy of the fucking air that you breathe, like, yeah. to come in between you? Oh, God, we just give them so much of our space. It's really yeah. unfortunate. But no more. I'm not giving any man any space ever again. So then Milton comes in for the goddamn win, and he says, listen, I need to speak on this. He says, I know my wife, and her character is much better than mine. I was like, Milton.
It's very sweet. I think we should play some of that. Let's play yeah. some of that clip.
My wife is a fantastic woman. She motivates me to be better every day.
The part, the mic drop for me in that speech
yeah.
was where he was like,
we were never friends. We were never peers. He was interestingly obsessed with my relationship with Lydia.
That's what we're not talking about.
Yeah.
Why are we at a barbecue with all of our, quote, friends, with all of our group chat buddies?
Yeah.
And you're pulling up screenshots from a year ago to try and prove a point about something I don't care about. Milton for the fucking win. Like, it's so stereotypical and it's so on brand for a woman to be obsessed about a man. Let's spin that around. Be like, why are you obsessed with her?
Yeah.
Go worry about your damn self. Why don't you go yell at some more women? Because yeah. that seems to be your fucking pastime.
Yeah, you really love doing that. And we find out that Uche texted Milton on his fucking wedding day
yeah.
and says, I heard you got married. Let's talk about it. Like, go fuck yourself.
Milton has made it clear
so many times.
They're not friends.
No.
They are not friends.
No. He's going to see him in the group chat. And here's another fucking instance of like, girl, raise your bar. They ask Aaliyah if they dated after everything. And she said, yes. What was she doing?
I don't know. But she confirms that he was awful and controlling yeah. and manipulative and didn't find her attractive. You know, they dated for a minute. You know what? Like, that man just has an issue with everyone. It's like, yeah. go fucking argue with the wall. Have at it.
I'm sorry, but I don't know how you can look at Aaliyah and not think that she's gorgeous. But
well, you know what yeah. I heard? You know, because now there's been all this gossip and they've all been on podcasts and everything. He likes white women.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because he was very, very comfortable yelling at Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
His aggression to Miriam was so centered and so focused on her when everyone was yelling at him. Remember,
I know.
Mira, Renee, Stacy, and he had time for them, but then he blew his fucking anger, like venom at Miriam. Listen, I think he has some internalized racism there because a lot of people said that he dates white women. He's like, oh, no, I dated a black girl once. I was like, okay.
But did you see Milton's face when Aaliyah said that she and Uche dated after the whole thing?
No, I didn't. What did he do?
I mean, he was just like, yeah, it was great. I mean, Milton's face was what all of us were thinking. I was like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing, my friend?
Don't worry. There's only 10 minutes left, but I guess there's enough time for JP and Taylor to take the stage. Taylor looks like a fucking goddess.
Listen, I'm going to make an unpopular statement. Look, she's pretty. And I hate this because it sounds like I'm siding with JP, and I'm not. It was too much for me. Sorry.
She was wearing this golden yellow dress. Her makeup was on point. She wins my, like, best look award.
Really?
Just top to bottom. Who wins your best look award?
Aaliyah.
Oh, no. Taylor looked gorgeous. She looked stunning.
To me, it was like the lips and it was a lot. It was a lot.
Well, JP is wearing a blue suit and some American socks he no doubt picked up at the CVS on the way to the studio.
Yep.
Honestly, JP is what happens when people take too many Jello shots and don't wear a condom. This was not a well thought out human being.
No.
He was not planned.
He was definitely not planned. And he also probably wasn't parented much at all. I mean, I think he thinks that marriage is like you sit on the couch and drink beer and she goes and does the things. And like whenever she says anything, you're like, shut the fuck up.
Also, the producers not playing the Star Spangled Banner upon his entrance, that is a missed opportunity, my friends.
That was. And also his fucking pant legs are too goddamn short too. But JP's excuse for acting like a sociopath was because the cameras were there. I'm like, you know, you signed up for a reality show, right? And also we all know that the cameras weren't there 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
We all know that. And she even says like, okay, well, but what about when the cameras left? And he goes, what were we supposed to do? What? Be a human.
Be a human?
Fucking take your gorgeous fiance and throw her on the bed and put your face between her legs for an hour.
Minimum hour. It takes a minute. You know what I mean, fellas? Okay, couple things about JP. Number one, he ain't shit. Okay?
No.
That was it.
No, that was it.
He is so subpar. And I gotta say also, I feel like Taylor is letting him off of every hook. Taylor is also being very generous with her words.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think as low as the road that Stacey took, like Taylor was like, I'm gonna go so far high up that you're not even gonna be able to see me. She was so gracious. She was so forgiving. And you know what? I was like, good on you. Like, we don't need to be scratching each other's eyes out. I think she's dealt with it and she's just like, this is not my fucking problem. Plus also, I'm sure that everyone knows that like she's coming out the winner in terms of like popular opinion.
I mean, you don't like her look. I think she's gorgeous. He's a fucking misogynist,
yeah,
an insurrectionist, and a fucking fashion catastrophe.
Right. And he says, I genuinely meant to say that you look beautiful without makeup on. And it's like, well then just say you look beautiful without makeup. I mean, we talked about this when that episode aired. That we were like, why didn't you just say like, wow, I didn't realize how gorgeous you were. You know, like, what is wrong with you?
I mean, many things.
Many things.
Go back to my list I just made a couple minutes ago.
And then Vanessa or Nick ask him like, is she the kind of girl that you would hit on at a bar? And he was like, I don't do that. I don't talk to women at bars. I have my friends do that for me. Like, he's in fucking middle school?
Hey, go tell Casey. I think she's cute. And go back and tell me what she says.
Honestly. Hey, Casey, Johnny likes you. Like, oh, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah, you admitted that on television.
On television.
Also, you wore 27 shades of the American flag. On television. For all of us to see and judge. And we did.
We sure did.
Honestly, the biggest disappointment of the entire reunion for me is why no one asked JP why he kisses like that.
Thank you. Could you imagine if Vanessa had been like, I'm sorry, can we just all address the elephant in the room here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will tell you that when Matt James was the bachelor at the reunion after the rose or whatever the fuck they call that, they brought up the fact that he kept his eyes wide the fuck open every time he kissed any of the women. So I don't know why they couldn't have been like, why did it look like you were a fucking woodpecker getting termites out of a tree?
Taught you to do that. Also, I think I said this in the episode. I don't remember, but like, I blame the women.
What?
I blame the women. Someone should have told him.
Oh.
Someone should have grabbed his fucking face.
Yeah.
And been like, no, this is how you fucking do it. This is how you do it.
Yeah, but they were all probably worried that he would clam up and never speak again and fucking blame it on them. So then they play the honeymoon game. Did you ever watch the honeymoon show?
Yes.
The newlywed show, that's what it was called.
When they were like, who's more likely to initiate whoopee?
Yeah, so do you know the most famous newlywed clip?
Girls, tell me where specifically is the weirdest place that you personally, girls, have ever gotten the urge to make whoopee?
Good.
Can you imagine that being your legacy? It's just the best.
It's so good. And it's morphed over time. Like, people are like, well, Bob, I'd have to say that would be in the ass. And it's like, no, 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 that's not at all what happened. That poor woman. When they ask who everybody would have hit on at a bar, my favorite thing was that both Milton and Chris picked each other.
Yeah.
And if Chris wasn't such a piece of shit, I'd love to see a Milton and Chris ship. I'd be there for that.
Honestly, this is my take on cheating. I know you have said you've cheated, but you were much younger. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving you a pass. You're a fucking dick, but I tell you that every day.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe when one of us dies, we should publish our text exchanges.
Oh my God.
Maybe when we both die.
Yeah, we'll be posthumously canceled for sure.
Yeah, be like, are those bitches dead? All right, look at this fucking text exchange.
You've never cheated?
No.
Wow. All right, fucking Mother Teresa, whatever.
Because it's like, just break up.
I don't know what's wrong with me. But yeah, I agree with that. I certainly...
Or just text her. He ghosted her.
Ugh.
The cheating thing. The next level is the just like, gone?
Yeah.
I have ghosted people. But like, people I've gone on like one date with.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah, but that's disrespectful. That's not good. I don't like confrontation and I don't like being mean to people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I see someone who has a bad show, I'm like, I have to go pick up Lola. I'm so sorry, you know?
Yeah. Oh, is that? So that's why you had to pick up
sorry?
Lola after my live show?
Hold on, there's...
Oh, okay. All right. I did there's think like, it was weird that you had to pick her up. It was like... pretty late at night. I was like, wouldn't she already be home? That's really strange. All right, well, thanks for coming to the show.
So, wow.
Oh, are you back?
This is real. I think it's my office.
I also want to point out that during the newlywed game.
Hello? Hey, yeah, it's an emergency? Okay, be right there. It's an emergency.
Oh, is it a 911? Did that ever happen to you in high school where kids would be like, I got a text, and they'd be like, you can't leave class, and they'd be like, but it's my mom, she texted me 911, like every fucking day in class?
Daisy, LOL that you think these people believe we had phones in high school. We had beepers.
Beepers, that's what I meant.
You said text.
Oh, it was fucking a beep.
We had beepers.
Beepers.
What color was your beeper?
See-through.
Mine was see-through purple.
I think mine was purple too.
And all your friends had a code?
Uh-huh.
Like, so that if you needed to call someone at their house, they had a code. Or like if they were calling from another place, you'd be like, oh, it's Daisy because she's 7218.
And also the 147 thing and the, or 143, I mean. And
what's 143?
I love you because it's one letter, four letters. Okay, anyway. During the newlywed game, they also asked what Marion's work was, which I was like, all right. It was pretty much only the women that took Marion seriously. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
All the women were like, she's a scientist and she makes skincare. Like, what is the issue?
Because Miriam came out with a TikTok.
Yes, I am a scientist, specifically an analytical chemist. I have a Bachelor's of Science in Chemistry from the University of Houston Downtown. And a master's in biotechnology from the Johns Hopkins University.
Mic drop. Miriam's like, they edited that shit. I am a fucking this and a that.
Well, she also said, like, I wasn't really ready to exactly talk about everything yet because I just launched and I didn't know where we were headed with the company. I was like, that's completely reasonable. I mean, I think maybe she could have thought out a better way to explain it.
Yeah.
Than she did.
What do you do for a living, Daisy? Microphones?
Exactly. I do this.
Headphones. Talking.
My mouth sounds come out and
strange things.
There's
hello
audio equipment or something. And then Nick says, this has been a season to remember. And I wrote, no, I really think we'd all like to forget this one.
I think this one is a pass.
I think Netflix wants to forget this one. I think.
Yeah.
The producers want to forget this one.
I want to go back to the season of Shane and Shake.
Oh, God. Shane. Shane never answered my DM. It's because I didn't say I had a Tony.
I did tell you that. I said lead with the Tony.
Or a plate of cocaine.
I said there's two choices. You lead with the tits or the Tony. Tits or Tony.
I'd go with the Tony in this situation.
Before we go, I want to tell you a story. We played an improv game this weekend. And we all were named Tony.
Oh my God.
And everyone caught on as to what we were doing until Daisy, like 6 minutes in, she was like, oh, that's the game we're playing?
Yeah, yeah. I thought we were all Tony because we were Italians in New Jersey. So I was like, haha, everyone's named Tony. And literally 6 minutes in, I was like, oh, I get it. Okay.
We played with Christopher Walker, who is the narrator of Disappeared, who is like part of our, I think not family. And he was like, and what's her son's name? And he was like, Monty. And he was like, Matoni.
That was, I was so like honored that it's so silly that you asked me to do that with you. And I was so scared. I was like, I haven't done improv in years. I'm like, I can't keep up with Joey and Ellen.
You were fucking epic and stellar. And it was really fun. Did you have fun?
Oh my God, it was a blast. And then I'm sorry for many reasons that I wasn't there the next day.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It was a lot.
But that is season 5 of Love is Blind. What are your closing thoughts about life and love and blindness?
Listen, I was actually just thinking about how Oedipus fucked his mom and then gouged his own eyes out. I don't know what that has to do with this, but you know, he went blind,
right?
Because he loved his mom, but he didn't know it was his mom. You know, that would be a really good reality show. It's like Love is Blind, but everyone also has voice modulators. So like maybe you are dating your mom. You don't know.
Daisy, that is not going to get greenlit.
No?
In this country, at least.
Oh.
You know what? Who knows? Maybe somewhere in the South. They're wild and crazy down there.
Yeah. How young can your wife be? That would be a fun show to watch.
Wait, have you ever seen the SNL skit, Your Second Wife?
Yes.
My friend Andrew Bredis wrote that skit.
Oh, I know Andrew.
Andrew wrote that skit.
Oh my God, that's such a good skit.
It's called Meet Your Second Wife. And basically it's like a dude who's like in his 30s. And he's like, you're married to Cassandra now, but in 20 years, you're going to be married to, and like a 16-year-old girl walks out.
Yeah.
And it's like, Becky. And he's like, no, no, I don't want to marry Becky. Yeah. It's so funny.
And isn't it, it ends with like, the baby hasn't even come out, like the sperm. It was so good. It was so good.
I mean, just look at Kelsey Grammer. But anyway.
Speaking of old men and young women, which is so novel, I worked with Tony Randall toward the end of his life.
Uh-huh.
And he also had a very, very young wife. And at our opening night or closing night party, whatever it was, he introduced me to his wife's parents and said, this is my mother and father-in-law. They're great kids. Because his mother and father-in-law were like easily 20 years younger than him, probably more.
I said to someone this past weekend, I said, oh my God, are you guys siblings? And he was like, no, that's my partner. I was like, yup, I meant partner. Why did I say that?
Yeah. Did I say siblings? Oh no, I meant.
And I just ran into traffic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love you, Daisy Egan.
I love you. I want to go back to season 1. I want a palate cleanser with Cameron and Lauren.
All right. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be here weekly since we don't have, you know, 4 episodes to get through in a week, which was hard.
That was a lot.
That was crazy. We were noting so fast and running down to our studios. That's going to be a time to remember.
And then editing. Oh my God.
We edited. It was a lot.
And we also had like a lot of emotional things going on.
Yeah.
Well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I just kept saying to friends, like, I just have to get through October. Like, please leave me alone until the end of October.
Same.
People would be like, hey, let's catch up. And I'd be like, no.
Not this month.
Get back to me in November.
But shut the fuck up. Nick Lachey lives on. We're going to start over at season 1 and see what kind of mishigas season 1 has for us.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, please share on your socials, Grab Bag Collab. We love this community we are building. And by we, I mean, they're basically letting me ride their coattails here.
I think that's the other way around.
How was the Grab Bag Collab panel, by the way?
It was so great. It was packed. There was standing room only. People were so excited.
Aww.
People were so jazzed for what we're doing. Like, I mean, first it was a joke. Like, Amber and I were like, someday when we start our all women's network, ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. And then we were doing it. And we didn't, you know, it was sort of just for us to be like, fuck it, let's just have a good time. And so to know that, like, we're really touching people in this way that they just feel so so impacted by us, and I don't think impacted by us is a thing, but close to us and invested in what we're doing. And so many people were like, can I volunteer? Can I help? It was so great. And then I read a Dear Daisy live mm-hmm. at the panel, which was so much fun. I would love to do that as like a tour. But right now we have fewer than 200 subscribers, so that would be a pretty small tour.
No, we don't.
Yeah. On Patreon?
On Grabbag?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Babe, you have 2,063.
My point is, that would be a very small tour. Like, I'd have like two people per city. So when we have a million followers, it'll be different. But it was really great. I loved doing it. And then I met some of your longtime listeners
Aww.
Afterward, including a woman who the letter that I read like really touched home for her. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. I was walking down the hall the first day and this woman was like, oh, Daisy, I literally was just listening to you. You were reading my letter on this week's Dear Daisy.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
It was so great. Yeah, it was so great.
I love
so
it.
There were some things about that weekend that were really beautiful and that I wouldn't trade.
I totally agree. Please share on your socials so that more people can get to know this fabulous network and the good work that my dear friends are doing. It really does help. I always say everyone is just an influencer in their own way. If you get Rod from
accounting
baggage claim to listen, that's one more listener, and that's on Grab Bag Club. And you can follow me at Ellen Marsh, and you can also support my other podcasts, I Think Not and Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. We would love you to come on by and download an episode, listen to it if you like it, and if you don't leave a review.
Yeah, I think that's good advice just in general
yeah.
for life.
Yeah,
I say the only time I ever write an angry email is to my fucking senator. Yeah, you can follow me at Daisy Egan. My other podcast is Strange. Oh, I have two podcasts, Strange and Unexplained every Thursday and Dear Daisy every other Friday, including this Friday. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, it is very helpful if you join my Strange and Unexplained Patreon. Not only is it financially helpful to me, but also I am so proud of the work that I'm doing there. And the episodes are just sort of lighter and less researchy and more just sort of like free flowing a little bit. So mm-hmm. if you're at all on the fence about that because of reasons, just know that I endorse you joining my Patreon.
Right. I joined this Patreon and I pay to work here. So
you also just need to accept Amber's Venmo.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I love you.
I love you.
Love you guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.
See you soon.